Turn with me, please, in God's Word to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 forms the backdrop to some of the themes of the book of 1 Peter, which we'll be looking at this afternoon. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet he considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Turn with me also, please, in the New Testament to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. You'll find that on page 1892 of your Pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read the first five verses. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. I'd encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we work our way through this passage. It'll help you to follow along. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. New Zealand is a land that is known for sheep. We have lots and lots of sheep. And often you see advertising New Zealand. And even back home we have posters. And on these posters you'll see a magnificent vista. You'll see our glorious snow-capped mountains in the background, rolling foothills, and then luscious green pasture in the foreground. And on this luscious green pasture, you'll see a flock of sheep. And what fine specimens they are. Lean, but not too lean. Lovely fine white wool. And normally somewhere in the picture, there'll be a rugged-looking farmer with a smile on his face and happy, contented sheepdogs sitting next to the farmer. It's a wonderful picture. But that picture isn't reality. You see, sheep farming, like any sort of farming, is hard work. And while you see on the pictures these beautiful sheep, the reality is that sheep are not beautiful looking animals most of the time. Sheep are skitterish. Sheep are nervous. They will scatter whenever they get the chance. And sheep get sores on their skin, sores that need to be treated. Sheep get fly strike. So it's not reality, that beautiful picture of the sheep and the mountains in the background. No, reality for a sheep farmer is hard work. And in our passage this afternoon, we learn about hard work as well. We learn about reality, the reality of real life. The Apostle Peter addresses this epistle to the churches of Asia Minor, to Christians who have been scattered abroad from Jerusalem because of persecution or because of the threat of persecution. He addresses them in verse 1 of chapter 1 as God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout the various regions of Asia Minor. He reminds them that they are God's elect, chosen before the beginning of time. But he also reminds them of the suffering that they are facing or the suffering that they are about to face. He reminds them that they are called to be holy, that they are living stones, a chosen people. And then he unpacks what this looks like for the churches. He addresses rulers and masters. He gives the example of Christ, which we'll look at shortly. He addresses wives and husbands. He reminds them of suffering in chapter 3 and living for God in chapter 4. But in chapter 5, in his concluding words, he addresses the elders. And in light of the installation this afternoon, it is good for us to remind ourselves of the work of our office bearers. And while the Apostle Peter addresses elders this afternoon, it doesn't mean that this is a sermon just for the elders, and that the rest of you can fall asleep. No, this is a message for all of us as a congregation. And we need to notice right away that as the Apostle Peter addresses the elders, he's addressing also the deacons, the pastors, the leadership of the church. And in verse 5 we shall see that he addresses the rest of the church as well. Our theme this afternoon is that the church is commanded to tie on the apron strings of humility. The church is commanded to tie on the apron strings of humility. And the Apostle Peter has three commands. And those three commands are our 3 points this afternoon. And our first command, our first point, he commands the elders, the office bearers, to be shepherds. In our second command, our second point, he commands all of us to submit to the elders. And finally, in our final command, we all are to dress ourselves in humility. Elders, be shepherds. We all submit to the elders, and we all are to dress ourselves in humility. So firstly then, elders, be shepherds. And I'll often use the word elders through the sermon, but remember, I'm referring to the elders, the deacons, and the pastors. We see in verse 1 how the Apostle Peter addresses the church leadership. And he does so appealing to them as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. So notice straight away how he addresses them. It's similar to last week when we looked at Philippians. He's including them in. He's identifying with them. And who reminds them of the glory that they will share, that they will share with him as well. And the Apostle Peter spoke about this earlier in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "These have come," talking about the trials that have come already to the people there, "these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So the Apostle Peter is identifying with them. And then in verse 2, he gives the elders the first command. He says to them, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Translated literally, he says here, shepherd God's flock as you are among them. Shepherd the flock that is among you. When I began, I gave you this picture of farming, of modern day farming. But back in the days of Palestine, and even in some places today, farming is different. You see, nowadays at night, the farmer leaves his sheep and goes home to a nice comfy bed. But back in those days, the shepherds of the sheep had to protect the sheep 24 hours, 7 days a week. And so they were with the sheep always. They were among the sheep. They lived with the sheep. They talked to the sheep. They formed bonds with the sheep. And so that's the picture that we need to have in the back of our minds. Shepherds who are among the flock, who are living amongst the flock. And then the Apostle Peter goes on. And he gives three how-tos and how-not-tos. Three how-not-tos and three how-tos. First of all, he tells them, serve as overseers. Not because you must. Not under compulsion, other translations have. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure your parents often tell you to do something. And you don't really sometimes want to do what they tell you to do. And so you go away and do it. But you poke out your lip. You shrug your shoulders. And you stomp around, making sure that mum and dad know exactly how you feel. That you're not happy that they asked you to do this. That they told you to do this. Well, believe it or not, we grown-ups can do the same. Now, we're much more sophisticated. We're much more clever in the way that we do it. But the Apostle Peter is addressing the office bearers here and saying, don't be like that. When you serve God's flock, serve them willingly. Serve them willingly. He says there, don't serve because you must, but because you are willing. And he gives another reason there as well. Because you are willing, as God wants you to be. He's reminding them there who it is that has called you to office. That it is God that has called you. Serve willingly, he tells them. The Apostle Peter goes on. Do not be greedy for money. Now we only pay our pastors here in our church today. And this passage doesn't advocate giving money to our elders and deacons to serve. It has more at heart here, the idea of desire. So don't serve, he's saying, to serve yourself. Don't serve for your own gain. Don't serve for power and prestige. But serve eagerly. Be eager to serve. Don't serve yourself, he's saying. Pastors, don't be in it for the money, but be in it to serve God's flock willingly. He goes on in verse 3. Serve as shepherds of God's flock, serving as overseers, he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. Now again, we need to have at the back of our mind what sheep farming was like in the days, in the Palestinian days, in the days of the people of Israel and Palestine. You see, our idea of moving a mob of sheep nowadays is the farmer behind on his four-wheeler with his dogs chasing the sheep and driving them where they are supposed to go. But back in the days of Israel, back in the land of Palestine, the farmer, the shepherd, would lead his sheep. He would walk in the middle of his sheep and show them the way. So of all the challenges, in some way this is the hardest, isn't it? He's saying to the office bearers, don't drive the sheep. Don't force them to go anywhere. But show them where to go. Lead them, show them the way. He speaks to office bearers in the book of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 he says, we urge you brothers, speaking to the overseers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Don't lord it over the sheep. Don't drive the sheep. But he goes on to give the how-to. Be an example to the flock. Be an example to the flock. And again, that's a challenge for us as office bearers this afternoon, isn't it? It's not a case of do what I say, not what I do. But it's a case of saying, as office bearers, as pastors, as elders, as deacons, it's a case of saying, follow me. Follow me. Follow my example. Follow the way. This is the way that you should go. And that's a challenge, isn't it? That's a challenge. Can you say to your congregation, brothers, can you say to your congregation, follow me? Follow my example? And in following our example, following the examples of the office bearers as a congregation, we are not to look at them. And as office bearers, we are not to provide ourselves as an example in itself. But our example is to point to Christ. You see, we read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And Peter has that book in the back of his mind as he's writing this epistle. Turn with me in your Bibles back to chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 21, he gives the office bearers, he gives all of us an example as to how we should live. He says in chapter 2, verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That is the example we all are to follow. That is the example we're especially to follow as office bearers. The Apostle Peter goes on in commanding the elders to be shepherds. And he reminds them of who it is that they are serving. Yes, they are serving amongst God's flock. But they are serving for the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep that we sung about at the beginning of our service. And when this chief shepherd appears, the Apostle Peter says in verse 4, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The crown of glory that will never fade away. So he reminds the office bearers that there is a reward coming. Yes, there are blessings serving now as an office bearer, but there is a greater reward coming. A crown of glory that will never fade away. And we can be encouraged by that as office bearers. We serve the chief shepherd. It is hard work now, but a reward is coming. So elders, be shepherds. The first of the Apostle Peter's commands. But he goes on, verse 5, to address the rest of the congregation, to address all of us. He says there in verse 5, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. So he's addressing here the young men. And he's saying to them, in the same way that the elders are to lead, you are to be submissive. And he's saying two things. First of all, he's saying to the young men, and he's saying to you, young men, this afternoon, look at the example of your office bearers. Look at the example of your pastor, your elders, your deacons. And follow that example. Learn from these men. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, it is a good thing to desire to serve the Lord in office. So young men, it is a good thing to desire the Lord, to desire to serve the Lord in office. To desire to serve as elders, as deacons. And Lord willing, even some of you, to serve as pastors, as ministers of the word and sacraments. So he's saying, learn from these men. Follow their examples. But he also addresses the young men in another way. As young men, we reach a certain age when the testosterone starts to flow. When we start to have the idea that we know where we want to go. We know what we want to do. And we can become headstrong. And when our elders or our pastor or even our deacons come to us, we can get our backs up. Who are they to come and talk to us? Why do we need to listen to them? And the Apostle Peter is saying this afternoon, the Holy Spirit is saying this afternoon through the words of the Apostle Peter, stop. Take a breath. Listen to what your office bearers have to say. Remember, as the author to the Hebrews says, that these men come to you as men who will be called to give an account, as men who will be called to give an answer to God for the way that they have served as pastors, as elders, and as deacons. Remember that as they come to you. Remember that they have your best interests at heart. That they want to guide you, to lead you, to encourage you in the way that you should go. But that applies to all of us, doesn't it, congregation? It applies to all of us. We all are to be submissive toward our church leadership. We are all are to look towards their example. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul addresses, just as he did the elders, he addresses the rest of the congregation as well. He addressed the elders in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He addressed the elders in verse 14. But in verse 12, he addresses the congregation. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. So he's addressing all of us this afternoon. Look to your elders. Look to your deacons. Look to your pastor. Follow the path that they are leading you in. Serve them. Make it a joy for them to serve. And yes, submit to them. We live in an age where the word submit is a dirty word almost, isn't it? But that's the command that is given here. Submit to your overseers. Submit to your office bearers. Now that's hard to do when you don't know your office bearer, isn't it? That's hard to do when your office bearer doesn't know you. And I've heard in many churches where I've been over the years, people say, I don't really know my office bearer. I don't know my elder or my deacon. In fact, they don't really know me. Why don't they come and talk to me? Now it's true, as office bearers, we are to know our flock. But that's a two-sided coin. As a congregation, we also are to get to know our office bearers. So if you don't know your office bearer, approach them. Talk to them. Invite them into your homes. Pray for them. Tell them that you are praying for them. And then when they do come to see you, to challenge you, to encourage you, then there is that relationship there. And then their words of encouragement, their words of admonishment are so much easier to hear, are so much more beneficial. Elders and deacons and pastors, know your flock. But congregation, know your office bearers. So we all are to submit to our church leadership. The elders are commanded to shepherd us. But finally, we have our third command. We all are to dress ourselves in humility. We all are to dress ourselves in humility. In the second half of verse 5 of chapter 5, the Apostle Peter says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Translated literally, this verse says, tie on the apron strings of humility. Tie on the apron strings of humility. You see, back in those days, the servants and the slaves, as they were going about doing their duties, they would wear an apron. And they would have to put this apron on and tie it on. And this apron would show that they were serving, that they were servants. It would also show that they were humbly serving their masters. And the Apostle Peter is saying to all of us this afternoon, be humble. Tie on the apron strings of humility. In chapter 3 of this book, 1 Peter, he gives us practical advice as how this looks, as what this looks like. 1 Peter 3 verse 8 we read, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. In verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Pastors, serve humbly. Elders, serve humbly. Deacons, serve God's flock humbly. All of us as a congregation, serve each other. Obey our office bearers humbly in humility. The Apostle Peter gives a reason here. He gives a negative reason, and then he gives a blessing. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. So that's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for us as office bearers, as we work amongst the flock. The Apostle Peter is quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. And there's a warning here. Office bearers, if you are proud as you deal with God's flock, God will oppose you. Congregation, if we are proud as our office bearers come to us, as they lead us, as they serve us, God will oppose us. God opposes the proud. And as we look at all these things, as we look at all these requirements of office bearers, if we look at these requirements as a congregation, we can really say, who of us is worthy? Who of us is able to serve in this way? We cannot do so on our own. We cannot do so on our own. And life as an office bearer can be difficult. It is difficult as we shepherd amongst God's flock. Sheep can be difficult to deal with. But as you face the struggle of burnout, as you face the struggle of sheep who bite, remember the example of Christ. Remember the example of Christ. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. And Christ was willing to die for the sheep. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. And Christ promises us, as a congregation, as we serve our leadership, as we obey our leadership, as we serve God in obeying our leadership, and as office bearers, as we lead the sheep, he tells us, he will give you grace. The Apostle Peter says to us, he gives grace to the humble. He will give you the grace, office bearers. He will give us grace, congregation. And as we think about that picture that we painted at the beginning of the sermon, of those wonderful mountains, of the luscious green grass, and the happy, contented sheep, and the contented shepherd, then through Christ's work that we have celebrated this afternoon and this morning, through his shedding his blood, and his laying down his life, that picture is a reality in a small part now, and an even bigger way in the future. And then as sheep, we are purely white. We are white because we are washed in his blood. And we can look forward. We can look forward as his people, as we all are his sheep, to that great feast, the feast that we have just a small part of, just a tiny part of in the Lord's Supper. That great supper of the Lamb. That day when the chief shepherd will reappear. When he will reappear to take all of us home. When he will give that unfading crown of glory to those who have served him in office. When we all will receive that glory as part of his people. And we can look forward to that day, and it can give us hope. That it can encourage us as we serve today. And we can say with our hearts and our minds, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.